You're listening to From the Pulpit by Sahlein. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming our patron by donating at sahlein.org/support.
Because we love our children, brothers and sisters, it is natural for us to be protective of our children. Many parents, they want to make all the decisions for their children because they love them. Imam Ali says, يَعْنِينِي عَنَانِي مِنْ أَمْرِكَ مَا يَعْنِينِي مِنْ أَمْرِي. Your matters are my matters. Your interests are my interests. So we love our children. And many times we want to make all the decisions for them. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we tend to overdo it. And sometimes we become too overprotective of our children. You see, it's good to guide your son. It's good to guide your daughter, especially when they grow and they turn mature. But beware and be careful of being too overprotective and interfering in their lives too much. See, this is an issue that we rarely talk about in our communities, is that some parents, they are interfering in the lives of their children too much. Children, I mean youth, yani, not children. Let's, for example, 16 and over. They interfere in their lives too much, and many times it becomes counterproductive and it backfires. And there are three areas that I want to bring to your attention. I hear many complaints from the youth in our societies, in our communities, of parents that are becoming too overprotective. Sometimes you have parents that are neglecting, صح? Son, they don't care. Sometimes you have parents that overdo it, that are too overprotective and they interfere in everything. This is all also wrong. We have to take a middle course. Don't neglect your kids. You don't ask about them. You don't know about them. And at the same time, don't interfere too much in your children's lives. 3 points, brothers and sisters, based on my experience and complaints I have heard, these are 3 words of advice for us as parents. And for the ones that aren't parents, inshallah, you'll be parents one day, so you can keep these 3 points in mind. Number one, when it comes to our children's career, my son and my daughter, never force or pressure your daughter into choosing a career. You see, brothers and sisters, many times young people, they come to me and they tell me, Sayyid, my father is killing me. He wants me to be a doctor. Especially, in Dearborn. Many young people, they come and tell me, Sayyid, my father is going to kill himself if I don't become a doctor. He says, son, he wants to disavow me. He'll disown me if I don't become a doctor. Why? Because when he grew up, this was his, dream. I become a doctor. Sahih? He couldn't achieve that dream because, for example, he came from the Middle East. He didn't have access to the language, to the education. I do. So now the burden is all on me. I don't want to become a doctor, Sayyid. This is not my passion. This is not something I want to be. You know what happens when we pressure them too much? They will go into that field. They'll waste 4 years, all that money, and they'll become a failure. In fact, there's a story that my father told me once. He says a story of a person he knows. This father's dream was that his son becomes a doctor. He comes from the Middle East. He didn't have the education, so he had a normal job. So he raised his son, teaching him that your dream should also be to be a doctor. You are destined to be a doctor. He says, ever since I was young, he would tell everyone, my son is going to be a doctor. Ibni Rahisir Hakim. Asan khalas ba'd. He ingrained it in stone. I could not choose any other job. He didn't want to be a doctor. That wasn't what he wanted to do. But he says the pressure was so great upon me that I felt if I don't become a doctor, my father will hate me. He'll let me down because he's told so many people. So he says, I went and I applied. This is a real story. He says, I went and I applied to a university that's out of state. He says, I got accepted, but I don't want to go. So he says, every week I'm supposed to go 5 days. And then on the weekend, I come back and spend time. You know what he would do? He says, for 5 days, I would go and have fun. My father, my poor father, he saved thousands of dollars. He would finance me. He would give me the money. The shaitan had played with my mind. He says, I would take the money from my father. I would go to Las Vegas. I would go to Florida. I would go to the Bahamas for 5 days, have fun with the money. Come back on the weekend. My father, ha, Baba, how was med school? Yeah, but it was tough. Please do dua. I have a son. There's no med school, nothing. He says, I could not dare tell my father that I don't want to go to med school. So I had to just lie. See how sometimes it backfires? Or if he wouldn't have lied, he would have went 4 years, wasted his life, he would have failed. After 4 years, yalla, now not let me go choose another career. He says, for 4 years, I lied to my father. after 4 years, my father thought, I'm coming back now that I, you know, I got my, what do they call it? The bachelor's? I don't know, Dr. Muhammad, for med school. MD. So now I'm supposed to, you know, apply for residency, in, you know, in the area. He says, I came back. I've done nothing. I've wasted $200,000 of my father's money, and I'm a failure. I'm not a doctor. What am I going to tell my father? What am I going to... He comes to my father. He says, I want you to break the news. The father will die if he hears that news. Now, why did this happen to begin with? It was the father himself that forced his son down this path. Yes, of course, the son is evil. He did something wrong. But when I put too much burden on my son and all the expectations, all the pressure is on you, sometimes it's too much and he will let me down. So this is something that we have to be very careful of. You know, it's narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam said, this is a very beautiful hadith. لا تقصروا أولادكم على آدابكم فإنهم مخلوقون لزمان غير زمانكم. The Imam says, do not enforce certain customs that you believe in upon your children, because they are created for a generation that is different than yours, a time that is different than yours. I lived in a, you know, in a place, in a time. My children live in a different time. Don't always expect your children to be exactly like you. No. That was 30 years ago. Times have changed. I remember some young individual used to come. He used to tell me, my father, every day he tells me, are you reading the New York Times? When I was your age, I was reading the New York Times. Baby, who reads the New York Times right now? He's an 18-year-old young guy. Right now, it's all TikTok or I don't know what. Because of course, 30 years ago, what would someone do, an 18-year-old? It was boring, other than sports, of course. I would say, and he says, every day he would tell me, do you read the New York Times? When I tell him no, he says, I would get a huge, you know, arka from my father. My father, a huge lecture from my father. So we cannot expect our children to be exactly like us. As long as the deen, the religion is there, but everything else is secondary. So when it comes to the career, many parents, they lived at a time where success was become a doctor, become a lawyer, become a pharmacist, become an engineer in Ford and GM. That was success. Now, 20, 30 years ago, there's still successful jobs. I'm not speaking against these jobs. But now there's so many new industries and careers. And I spoke about this last week, remember? I brought you an entire list. So don't tell your child since you're young, because I hear this all the time. Young people, my father wants to be a pharmacist. He wants me to be a pharmacist. He wants me to be an engineer. I don't want to be an engineer. I want to be something else. So I want to be, for example, you know, one of these new industries that we don't even know what they are now. So do not enforce your vision of success upon your child, or else it will just backfire and that individual will be a failure. Sometimes, you know, I notice this even some parents, they have a good intention. They want their children to go to Hawza. I've noticed, I know certain individuals, examples. They want their children to go to Hawza, Qom or Najaf and study. That son doesn't want to go to Hawza. He doesn't have, you know, for example, the intelligence, or he doesn't have the... He just doesn't have the willpower. Someone lazy, or he doesn't have the passion. He doesn't want to go to Hawza. The father, the mother, the family, they pressure him. He comes to the Hawza. I remember when I was in the Hawza, I used to see some students come from the West. They spend their entire time wasting. They would not attend their classes. They would skip classes. They would spend every night shisha, argila, waste of time. Why? Because they were forced to come to the Hawza. He goes 5 years, he comes back, he's a failure. He hasn't learned one thing, because from day one, he didn't come with that passion. When you come with the passion, that's different than someone who is forced by his family. Wallah, because my father wants me to go. And alhamdulillah, this is one of the blessings of Allah upon me personally. My father is a scholar. He studied in the Hawza. But alhamdulillah, he never pressured me to go to the Hawza. Never. Did one day he tell me, you have to go to the Hawza because my father was a scholar and his father was a scholar and his grandfather. Never. He would tell me, my dear son, it's up to you. You want to go to the university? You want to become a doctor? Of course, this is what every father loves for their son. You want to become a doctor? You become a doctor. You want to become an alim? You go to the Hawza. When I went to the Hawza, it was based on my sole discretion, my sole opinion. Yes, of course, my father would encourage me, this is a good thing, but pressure me? Not at all. Never did I feel that I was pressured into doing this. And this is how we have to be with our children, mother and sisters. As long as the career is not haram, He's not engaged in haram business. Let him choose whatever he wants. When I enforce upon him, he will only become a failure later on. This is number one. The first area where we have to give our children, our sons and daughters, room. Number two, the second area where we have to give them room is when it comes to choosing a spouse. Last week, I spoke about the importance of consulting. When you want to get married, consult. Consult your parents, consult other individuals about certain individuals you want to get married. Make sure you do some research, investigation. But at the end of the day, if I consult, my child consults me, and then they don't want to accept my opinion, I should not force them to marry the person I want. I should not ban them from marrying the person that they want. As long as, listen carefully, as long as the two conditions of Rasulullah are met, let them marry whoever they want. Rasulullah said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. If someone comes and the deen is there, the religion, and the khuluq, the akhlaq, there's someone who is respectful, someone who is polite, someone who has tarbiyah, as we say, khalas. But everything else is secondary. If that person is not from my country, that doesn't matter, brothers and sisters. As long as the deen and the akhlaq. Likewise, many youth, they come to me. They come to many, all the ulama here. They go to my father. My father can tell you 1,000 stories of this. Young youth, they come crying to us. Sayyid, I want to marry this girl. She's muhajjaba, she prays. Everything is good about her. The only problem is she's from a different country. And my father says no. How can you marry? I'm from someone, for example, I don't want to give examples right now, but you know exactly what I mean. I'm from this country and she is from that country. Sometimes it's the opposite. The guy wants to marry a girl. They love each other. They're both mu'min. The deen, the akhlaq is there. But the father says no, because this person is from another country. Sometimes, alhamdulillah, this is becoming less now. Sometimes even the village mentality, he's from a different village. Same country. But this guy is from the north, let's say. She's from the south. I don't want. I want someone from our own village. What's that going to do for my son or daughter just because from same village or same country? I remember once I went to Australia. A young man, he told me, Sayyid, I got rejected. The father rejected me even though he's a mu'min. He says, because I couldn't speak the language of the father. He came from a country in the east. Because I couldn't, he told me that you don't speak this language, you're no good. I can't give you my daughter. This is haram, brothers and sisters. This is not just, you know, unrecommended. This is haram. The Holy Quran speaks about a notion called al-adl. وَلَا تَعْضُلُهُنَّ. It is haram for a father to deny his daughter marriage for such reasons, because he's from this country. Yes, if he is someone that is not religious, I have the right to tell my daughter, this person is not religious. مَا فِي أَخْلَاق, مَا فِي دِين, this is okay. But if it's because of race, it's because of the country, this is haram. Asan, this is one of those cases where the guardianship of the father, the wilaya of the father may be stripped away from him. You have no right to deny your daughter marriage just because of the language, just because of the religion. Hundreds of stories, brothers and sisters, I know. Parents, they say no because he's from a different country. Or sometimes, I remember recently a father, because I don't like that girl's father, then my son is not going to marry her daughter. What type of mentality is this? This is the tribal mentality of Jahiliyyah. He told me, the father, I asked him, why did you tell your son, why did you deny him from marrying that girl? He says, Sayyid, because I don't like her father. They have a personal problem. He denies the son. Or he denies the father. And sometimes it's the opposite. What do I mean? Sometimes we deny our children, our sons and daughters, from marriage because of these reasons. Sometimes we pressure them into marrying someone that they don't want. I remember once I went to an area. A father came to me. He said, Sayyid, please, I want you to sit down and talk to my son about marriage. There is someone that I have found for him, and I want you to convince him to marry her. So I asked him, who is she? He said, Sayyid, her father is a sheikh. He's a alim. I said, okay, what about the girl? Nah, I don't know anything about the girl. I know her. The father is a sheikh, a sayyid. I told him, Habibi, is he marrying the sheikh or the daughter? Just because the father is a sheikh, you want your son to marry the daughter? So I went, I spoke to the son. He told me, Sayyid, the only reason my father wants me to marry her is because the father is a good man. Oh, I don't care about the father. I'm not going to live with the father. I'm marrying the girl. There's no attraction between me and the girl. What can I do? This is another problem. Some parents, they pressure their kids in marrying their cousins because the mother, she wants what? She wants, she loves her sister and she knows her sister has a daughter. My son has to marry the cousin. Or sometimes the father does that. This, brothers and sisters, is a way in which you will destroy their marriage. Even if they say yes just for you, but they're not going to be happy in their marriage. They'll get divorced a year later, 2 years later. What have I achieved? Don't pressure them in marriage. And in fact, there is a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq where he explicitly says this. Listen to this. The Imam says, one of his companions by the name of Ibn Abi Ya'fur. Listen to this hadith, brothers and sisters. قُلْتُ لَهُ. He says, I asked the Imam al-Sadiq, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجْ إِمْرَأَةً. I want to marry a woman. She's a mu'mina. وَإِنَّ أَبَوَايَ أَرَادَ غَيْرَهَا. But my parents want me to marry someone else. What should I do? What do you think the Imam would say in this situation? What do you think? Listen to your parents. Listen to the answer of the Imam. قال الإمام تزوج التي هويت ودع التي يهوى أبواك. He says, leave the one that your parents want and marry the one that you want. Remember, as long as the deen and the akhlaq, as long as the deen and the akhlaq are there, then marry the one that you want and leave the other one. Why? Because Imam al-Sadiq knows that will be a failed marriage. If I'm marrying a girl just because of my father and mother, it's going to be a failed marriage. After a couple of months, I'm going to divorce her. After a couple of years, there's not going to be love in that because I'm just doing it for my father and mother. I'm the one that's going to live with her, not my parents. When the Imam tells him that marry the one that you love and leave the one that your father and mother want, he's sending a message, the Imam, a powerful message to the parents. Don't force your kids to marry someone. Guide them. Give them, for example, guidance. Tell them, you know, this is probably not a good idea. But to force the idea on them, no. As long as, remember, the deen and the akhlaq is there. Now, that's a red line, of course. There's no deen and akhlaq. Now you may say, why is the Imam saying this? Our children have to obey us. Yes, our children have to obey us. But at the end of the day, we also have to be somewhat lenient and merciful with our children. Sometimes there are some parents that are so strict and they're so, you know, severe with their children that they force their children to become aq. They force their children to become undutiful. They turn them away. I remember some youth, they come to me. They tell me, my father is so strict with me, interferes in every part of my life, but I can't stand him. If this child becomes aq, he turns away from his father, it's the father's fault. Listen to the hadith of Rasulullah. He says, Rahimallahu walidain a'ana waladahuma ala birrihima. May Allah have mercy upon the parents that help their child in being dutiful towards them. Your child has to be good towards you. You as a father have to help them so that they become good towards you. How? By not being so severe, by not interfering in every single thing. When you burden them with too much, you will force them to run away. You'll force them to turn against you. So be lenient, be easy with them so that they can become bar, they can become a dutiful child towards you. But when you burden them with too much, khalas, you lose them. So this is a second, brothers and sisters, area that we shouldn't pressure and force our kids when it comes to choosing. No, I want you to marry this person. No, I want you. Or to rejecting on the basis of, for example, country and race. And finally, I'll end with this. When it comes to the matters of marriage, meaning the daily matters of marriage, marriage life, the less the parents interfere, the more successful the marriage will be. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I am telling you this based on experience from hundreds of cases that I have seen and thousands of cases that my father, sometimes he tells me, because people come to counseling for us when they have problems. Many times the problems are because the in-laws are interfering too much. The more the in-laws interfere in the marriage, the worse the marriage will be. Only interfere when you have to, when it's necessary, when it's a big deal. But in every small issue, some mothers, they go and ask their daughters every day, what did your husband do today? What did he give you? What did he buy you? This is wrong. Some mothers, they go to their sons and they ask about the wife every day, what did she do? Sometimes the wife, maybe she, you know, she wasn't at her best behavior. So the mother has to know about every single thing. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, I know two friends of mine, close friends of mine. They got married. Their marriage was perfect. But they ended up divorcing because of the mothers. Because the two mothers, they got involved, they waged a war. These two poor guys, the wife and the husband, they were caught in the middle until they had to get a divorce because it was unsustainable anymore. Sometimes we parents could lead our children to divorce. Now, of course, there are good parents who obviously, they always try to reconcile, who always try to bring the two together, who don't interfere unless it's necessary. There are the good parents. And unfortunately, there are those parents that become the reason for the divorce of their children. The daughter hasn't said anything. She hasn't complained. The mother comes and she instigates the son. She instigates the daughter until it leads to a divorce. You know, they say the the happiest couple in the world was Adam and Eve. Why? Because neither had in-laws. Neither had in-laws. They were the only human beings. They got married. So sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful when it comes to how to deal with our children in their marriages. Don't involve yourself unless it's necessary. The less we interfere in the lives of our children, the happier their marriages will be most of the times. Unless it's a must, you have to come to reconcile. It's much better to let them live and figure out their problems by themselves.